Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 1. That's where we will begin our study tonight. Would you stand with me as we read through the Word of God? Did have a little left over from last, but very well. Verse 1 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, prepared, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You because You are our God. You are worthy of our thanksgiving. And we know without You, Lord, we are nothing. But we also know the joy of You living within us. I pray that You bless us in this time in Your Word tonight. Give us understanding, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. That, Lord, we may learn of You. And because of what we learn, we may grow in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This message tonight is like a road sign in that, you know, when you're going down the road and you see a sign that says warning, you know, a flashing sign, danger. If I could title this message, the title of the message would be warning, 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 or danger, danger, danger. And because that's what Paul is doing to young Timothy. He's giving him a heads up. Now, you know, we're all very familiar with this, that we know that in last times, perilous times will come. And we often preach this from the angle that we can identify the last times because of the perilous times that there are. And it's true. However, there's more to it than that. This is a warning to Timothy. And when Paul says, "But know this," that word "know," it means to understand or perceive or recognize that these perilous times, dangerous, violent, troublesome times are going to be in the last days. And the idea is that Timothy or the child of God today be able to recognize why things are the way they are and what to do about them when he recognizes those things in the last days. That's the whole idea of this text. You see, the danger is this. We are moving in this direction, Paul is saying. And if you don't know how to handle it, you'll become just like them. Okay? That's the danger. So we're going to begin with the list of characteristics that Paul gave Timothy to watch out for in the last times. And he says, first of all, on that list, men will be lovers of themselves. Now, we could just stop right here and say that the rest of that list will be covered in being lovers of themselves. Everything else seems to fall in that category. And the idea there, lovers of self, is loving oneself instead of loving God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we're told that Jesus died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Do you realize this life is now not about you, right? This life is about Jesus Christ. And so the life that we live should be Jesus living within us. That's the problem here that Paul first identifies. Lovers of themselves, that we want to live for ourselves more than we want to live for Jesus Christ. And that is very evident today. Now, I want to give you a heads up. Paul's not talking about just what's going on out in the world. These things, Paul was giving it to Timothy, who was the pastor at Ephesus, and the idea is, yeah, it goes on in the world. But he said, Timothy, you could have a problem in the church. These things could happen in the church. You know? Oh, not in church. These are church people. They're good folks. No, listen. Listen. There are some rough church folks also. Do you know that? Okay? So the idea here, the warning is, you know, hey, watch out, because these things are going to take place in the last times at the very end. And it's not just taking place out there, but in that church also. You know, and as I said, we started with lovers of self, choosing to love ourselves instead of loving Jesus. And that creates a me-centered society. All about me. And we ponder to the personal appetites of people. You know, church is not about you. It's not about me. And I guess the older I'm getting, the less I try to ponder to the desires of people. Because, you know, I'm starting to realize I don't have to be judged by people. I'm going to have to stand before a mightier, bigger, greater judge, and that is my Heavenly Father. And, you know, and I don't mean that smart aleck, you know, I really don't. But we as church members must always keep in mind it's not about what I want. Even if the pastor, it's not about what the pastor wants. It's about what God wants. It's not about loving just people. It's about loving God. We got to love God before we can love people. You see? Paul says, warning, first of all, in the last day, people are going to be lovers of themselves. And not just lovers of themselves, but that loving yourself leads to being a lover of money. How many are lovers of money? Please don't raise your hand. We can like it quite a bit, right? But not love it. I've heard people say money is a good servant, but a terrible master. And that's the whole idea here. You know, when you start loving yourself, it's all about what can I do for myself and where can I spend my money to buy more stuff to please myself. And the more I buy, the more I want. The more I want, the more I lust after the money, you know. Contrary to popular opinion, this life is not about how much money you have. You want to know? And listen to me. I realize I'm preaching to the choir on Sunday night, but that's okay. It's where we are, right? Do you know why people don't tithe? I'll tell you why people don't tithe. Because they love themselves and they love the money more than they love the God that saved them. Okay? That's the bottom line. Why don't people give? Because they want to keep it for themselves. And listen, this is the danger that Paul is talking about to Timothy. He said, well, Brother Doug, I think tithing is Old Testament. No, tithing is Old Testament and New Testament. And I'll give you know, every once in a while I preach a message on tithing. But tithing was not just the law. Tithing existed long before the law of Moses, and it continued to be practiced long after Jesus fulfilled the law. But number one, watch out, because in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, and it will lead them to love their money, and that will lead them to being boastful and prideful. You ever notice we live in a society where it's the haves and the have-nots. And if you don't wear a certain brand of clothes or drive a certain car, and you know, you're judged based upon how much you have. And we take great pride in how much we have. And we even, as a society, will look down on those that don't have as much as maybe we have. You know, that's not godly. Not at all. We live in a superiority society. And let me tell you, young people, you are no better than anybody else. Okay? Let me tell you, adults, we're no better than anybody else. We've all been saved by the grace of Jesus. And the greatest blessing that we have is not the size of our bank account. It is the wonderful Savior that we have, Jesus Christ. We go on. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, prideful. They will be blasphemous, it says, which is abusive, insulting speech. The idea is that they exercise that insulting speech toward God. Their society, who is not dependent upon God, but rather dependent upon themselves. It's a lack of respect for God. Did you know there is a lack of respect for God in the church? There is. In churches today. I mean, you base it on the conduct of people in church. See, there was a day when your conduct in church was a certain way. And I'm old-fashioned, all right? I don't think you ought to take off running through church. I don't think a church service is the time to enjoy a good latte. I don't think a church service is... I think a church service should be 100% Jesus Christ-centered. Okay? Nothing else. Not pandering to the needs and the desires of people of today. I think sometimes the conduct of people in a worship service is downright blasphemous. Because they're showing no respect for the God we say we're here to worship. We go on. Oh, here's the great one. In the last days, they should be disobedient to parents. Young people, why don't you do what your parents tell you to do? Why won't you? I can tell you why. It's a rebellion against authority. Moms and dad, parents, let me tell you, if you let them get away with it, you'll pay for it. Okay? I made the comment at my dad's funeral the other day. My dad practiced discipline, and he did. Bless his heart. He didn't believe in corporal punishment. He believed in capital punishment. Okay? He hurt me numerous times. Sometimes I thought it was child abuse, you know? But the idea, I did learn. I learned respect and responsibility. I learned how to conduct myself in the house of the Lord. I learned how to conduct myself in society. And there were just things that, you know, there was a point I'd push my dad. But I wouldn't go beyond that point. Why? Because I respected him. And I knew that he'd get me. But we're living in a day where kids are disobedient to parents. They don't listen. They smart talk back and respond. You know, kids, watch it. Watch it. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we're going to address each of these. And then at the end, I'm going to tell you what to do about it. Okay? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. He went down the list. These are pretty much self-explanatory, but this describes that person that's totally given to selfishness. That person that's totally in love with himself. He is not appreciative of what he has. He is not holy. Meaning, no moral purity. Did you know in churches there are some immoral people? Remember that. Just because somebody comes to church does not mean they have moral standards. Look out for it. Okay? Unloving, which is lack of normal human affection. Unforgiving, which is literally merciless. Unwilling to reconcile is what that means. Oh, listen, you want to find out if a person really wants to practice what they preach, if they're really sincere, you watch, do they have a forgiving heart? I've said this many times. I don't have a choice. God tells me I've got to love you. And if you do something that makes me angry, I once again don't have a choice. God tells me I've got to forgive you. But that's not just the preacher, that's all of us, right? That's every one of us. But we're living in a day, we are living in the last days where these things are so very prominent. We go on. They're godless characteristics, slanderous. You know what that word slanderous, the Greek word is? Diablos, which means what? Devil. That person who is characterized by attacking the reputation of another. A mouth that spreads rumors and gossip and lies for the idea of harming somebody. Oh, that's in churches. I've found those people before, haven't you? Watch them. I'm going to tell you what to do with them in just a moment. People who are without self-control, lacking moral restraint, anything goes. Those people are in churches today. Savage, brutal people. And he goes down the list. He said, what is brutal? Literally, violent, vicious. And listen, let me tell parents something else. You better be careful what your kids are playing on their PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever else they play these days. Okay? It's a bad thing for kids to spend hours in front of the TV and watch the blood and guts that some of these games have today. The beheadings, the shootings, and the immorality that's in those games is horrible. Don't back up and think, well, my kid's a Christian, that's not going to affect him. Let me tell you something. If I fall in a hog walla, I'm going to come out dirty. And your kid, child will too. It's that influence. Despisers of good, he said, which is just an enemy of good. Traitors, betrayers, they can't be trusted. They're headstrong, reckless, which is what headstrong means. Haughty, which means arrogant. And here's the big one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Why do we have such a problem with getting people to come to church today? Because they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they can take out their entire summer and spend it at the lake. You don't love God. Okay? When I'm here one Sunday and gone two, I don't love God. And I understand. There are people with jobs and work responsibility. I get all that. But I'm talking about making the choices. Instead of coming to church, I'm going to go play and do the things I want to do. And when I can't go play and do the things I want to do, then I'll work church into my schedule. What's Paul saying? He's saying, this is a sign of end time. This is what we're going to have to deal with. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Instead of spending time in prayer, spending time playing, or spending time in Bible study, you'll opt for screen time. Here's the kicker. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That word form means an outward appearance. It means they're putting on a show or playing a game and they appear to love God. And you know, they come to church pretty regular when nothing else is going on. However, the bottom line is when it's denying the power, they're refusing or rejecting the supernatural significance of it. Literally, here it is in our terms. When you're saved, something happens. I cannot express to you the transformation that takes place when a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ. But something inside changes. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't, you know, I'll never do anything wrong again. Absolutely not. But it does mean I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you walked down an aisle and you made a profession of faith and nothing changed on the inside, what you did was not real. Okay? That's the idea of this. Denying the power, the supernatural power. Oh, they go to church, they look good and when it's convenient, but that change has not been there. That change has not taken place. Something's missing. This is what the end time looks like, my friends. Guess what? We're living in the last days. I mean, I go down this list and it's like checking them off, you know? Every one of them. You know, unloving, without natural affection. Parents that don't love their kids. Kids that don't love their parents. You know? I mean, you just go down this list. Yeah, we're there, we're there, we're there, we're there. So what are we going to do? Young people, what are you going to do? Because all of us know people like this. And some of them are called, or some of them call themselves Christian. So what are you going to do with it? Here it is. Everybody, this is, and I don't care if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. Here's what you do. Verse 5. And from such people turn away. That's it. Means to shun. Avoid like the plague. Is there some popular guy at school that young ladies, that there's some popular guy that, oh, he's all the rage, but you know that he's immoral. Stay away from him. Guys, is there this guy in this church? Listen up. Is there a young man in this church that is just immoral and ungodly? Avoid him like the plague. You say, Brother Doug, he's in this church. It doesn't matter. He's an ungodly person. And if you do not, I promise you this, I don't care if you're 8 years old or if you're 80 years old, you spend time in that environment, it's going to get on you. That's the big warning here. Paul's saying in the last days, these people are going to exist. Don't let them take you down the wrong road. Don't let them do it. You see, you as a child of God, you know what's right. You know what's acceptable before our great and holy God. Do not allow yourself to be sucked into that immorality of another individual. Don't matter who it is. Whether he's in the pulpit or the pew. Don't go down that road with them. That's Paul's point to Timothy here. Avoid them like the plague. And if we'll avoid them, here's the thing, okay? Here's the outcome. And verse 8, it gives an example. Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, and so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. Just like in the Old Testament, when these two individuals resisted Moses or opposed Moses. And he said, what will happen is they will progress no further. You learn to avoid them. You learn to say no. You learn to not be a part of such nonsense and ungodliness. They will progress no further. And even better, their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs was also, the James and Jambres. It'll come to the surface. Never, never doubt. What a man sows, he's going to reap. That's Bible. Okay? And you may look at this individual and he's flying high and mighty, and you know that individual is wrong, you know he's ungodly, you know he's immoral, and you're just thinking, well, God's not doing anything to him. You take this to the bank. You plant wheat, you're going to get wheat. One of these days, there's going to be a harvest. A lot of people, Adrian Rogers used to say, I heard him say quite often, you know, people were sowing their wild oats and praying for a crop failure. The one thing that doesn't happen, spiritually speaking, is a crop failure. It comes back. We have to learn to avoid them. Okay? Don't be a part of it. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to be saved. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you called upon the name of the Lord? If not, this invitation is for you. Listen, one of the greatest joys of life is to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Amen? Amen? If you don't have that assurance, you need that assurance. Will you come during this invitation? Perhaps there's another need in your life. Perhaps you've kind of fallen by the wayside or backslidden and you need prayer. You come up here and you and I will get down on our knees and I'll have prayer with you. Maybe there's just a burden that you have on your heart. You need somebody to join you in prayer for that burden. This invitation is for you. Whatever your spiritual need is, Jesus is the answer. Will you come? As we stand, our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word and for the opportunity to learn of you. And Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're truly living in the last days. There's no doubt, Lord. Help us to identify those individuals around us who are not good for us. And help us to avoid them, Lord, so that they do not take us down with them. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.